What a special time to look back on the history of a church for 135 years. About the first thing that somebody said to me when I came in this morning, somebody I did not know, they said, are you going to preach the first sermon you preached when this church started? I assure you, I was not here when this church started. But I am glad to be here this morning to celebrate this time together. I'm going to preach this morning on remembering the past, live in the present, and plan for the future. But before I do that, let me say a personal word, because many of you have been asking. We've been gone for almost 18 months now, serving at Parkway Baptist Church as interim pastor. And so we haven't been here. And during that time, a lot of things has happened with you all and with us. Many of you know, most of you probably don't, that my wife has experienced some illness this last year. I personally believe that's probably the result of long-term COVID. And she's getting better, but she's lost her balance and walking and stamina and so forth. So she'll be here for the second service. She didn't come for this service. I'll go home and pick her up. She has a walker now, and she's going through physical therapy, and that's helping. It's improving. Our hope is that she will regain her strength and be able to walk and drive. I just love going to Walmart on Mondays grocery shopping. She's able to do that by getting a cart and walking with the cart, you know, and Walmart. Okay. All right. With that said, let's move on to today. What a joy it's been to see the video and to hear the testimonies. And so many of you I know, and many of you I do not know. And so this morning it's a time to remember the past. And what a joy to look back over many years and friendships and blessings and sorrows, laughter and tears, and to remember the past. And it's good for us to do that. The Bible, all of the Old Testament is remembering the past. If you read through the Old Testament, it is a constant reminder of the past. The psalmist said it's good for us to remember the days of old. I thought about the former days, the days of long ago. And recently I preached a message from Nehemiah chapter 9. Nehemiah comes at the end of the exile of Israel and the return back to the land. And Nehemiah in one chapter reviews all of the history of Israel from the time of Abraham up until the time of his own life. That's 1,500 to 2,000 years. He does that in one chapter. Stephen did that as a deacon in the early church in Jerusalem when they were about to stone him. Before they stoned him, Deacon Stephen reviewed the same history of the nation of Israel. So it's good for us to remember the past. It's good for us to remember the vision, the passion to plant a Baptist church. You may not know that in those days when this church was planted, back in the 1880s, it was not the thing to have a non-Catholic church in St. Louis. And you faced a lot of opposition. And just the thought of planting a Baptist church was heresy. And yet they had a vision to do that. They had a passion to plant a Baptist church. The sacrifice that has gone into this church for 135 years. This building did not just happen. And you saw pictures of previous buildings and previous moves and previous locations. And it required a great deal of sacrifice. And many people have given blood and sweat and tears and finances in order to bring this church to where it is today. Don't forget the sacrifices that people have made. I think about Dennis Hahn and his family. Here in this church, almost 100 years with his parents and grandparents. What a legacy that is. And then the vision for the future. When I came as pastor 36 years ago, one of the things that impressed me was the vision that this church had for the future. Now, that did not come without a cost and great sacrifice. And as we remember the days of old, we remember not just the good days, but there were some bad days that many would like to forget. But I want to remind you, it's important to remember even the bad times. And not to open up old wounds, but to make all of us aware of the sacrifice and the hardships. Brother Bales, who was the pastor of this church for 21 and a half years, when I came here, my goal was to beat him. And I stayed 22 years. 22 years. Brother Bales was here 21 and a half years, a great, great preacher. I loved him. He came back and joined the church after I came, and we had a great relationship. Brother Bales retired early. And after he retired, that was the time when St. Charles County was just starting to boom and to grow like mad. And the church called a younger pastor, about 40 years of age. He was a dynamo. He started a television broadcast, I think daily. He became chaplain of the police department. And the church began to grow dramatically. And they began to realize that they were boxed in down there on King's Highway. Boxed in land, boxed in building. And so they decided, what do we do for the future? They looked into the future. They had a vision. And they decided that they needed to relocate. And so they went out and bought 28 acres, I think it was, out on Elm Street. Drew up architectural plans. Began to plan to rebuild. When all of a sudden, after 3.5 years, that young pastor discovered he had cancer. And within 5 months, he died. Well, I want to tell you, that was a traumatic event. And the relocation plans, what are we going to do now? Well, then they called Dr. Kenneth Parks. His daughter, Judy, is here this morning. Dear friend, Kenneth and Ruth Parks, to be the interim pastor. Dr. Parks was leading a tour in the Holy Land about 6 months after he came and died while he was in the Holy Land. And they brought his body back, had the funeral here. Now, I want you to get this picture in your mind. Here's the death of a pastor. Here's the death of an interim pastor. Back to back. And then a few months later, they called another young man, and tragically, it did not work. I think from day one, it was not a good fit. It was not a good mesh. And within 18 months, that pastor was asked to resign. And he resigned, and the next week, about 200, 250 people left the church to start another church. Now, put all of that in perspective. Here's a church that's been prospering and booming, and all of a sudden they have the death of a pastor, they have the death of an interim pastor, they have a church split, and 200, 250 people left. And those 200 and 250 people that left were young people, teenagers, children. And that's where the church was when they called me. When I came, I would tell that story to people, and they would say, "And you came?" I did. I knew it would take several years to get back to where the church could move forward, and we did. But immediately, I saw the church had a vision, and they had that idea of the future. Now, that's part of the past. You say, "Pastor, we don't really want to think about those things." They're part of who we are. They're part of who you are. And life is made up of good things and bad things. And the life of a church is not always on the mountaintop. Sometimes it's down in the valley. It's not always in victory. Sometimes it's in defeat. And it's good for us to remember the days of the past, which is what we're doing this morning. But I want to move beyond that. It's good to remember the past, but don't live in the past. Listen to that. good to remember the past, but don't live in the past. When I came here, I had started working on my Doctor of Ministry degree from Southern Seminary about a year before. Before I started that process, I had to go for an interview to see if they would admit me to that program. The dean of that program had previously been a professor at Southwestern Seminary when I went there years before for my first seminary degree. So when I went in to interview with Dr. Hendricks, I immediately said to him, "Dr. Hendricks, I had you as a professor at Southwestern Seminary when I was there years ago." And Dr. Hendricks was a no-nonsense, different kind of individual. He looked at me and he said, "Mr. Shepherd, that was a different time and a different place." Think about that. I have never forgotten that. That was a different time and a different place. We have reviewed the past 135 years this morning, but this is a different time and a different place than 135 years ago. It is a different time and a different place than 36 years ago. It is a different time and different place than when I retired 14 years ago. It's a different time and a different place than 4 years ago. And it's important that we remember the past, but do not live in the past. I heard recently on the gospel radio station that I listened to a song sound like it came from the hills of eastern Kentucky. And the title of the song was 1945. And the theme of the song was, "Oh, if we could just go back in the church to 1945. I remember the days of 1945. Let me tell you something. I've been in from pastor now of about 11 different churches the last 14 years. Some of those churches have been living in the past in 1945. This is not 1945. It's not the 1950s. It's a different time and a different place. Dying churches live in the past. Did you hear that? Dying churches live in the past. Dying churches resist and refuse change. I want to remind you that methods change, but the message does not change. Methods change. Simple little things. We have been forced in our churches. We would never have planned to do this, but we have been forced in the last 3 years to make changes. For instance, the Lord's Supper. I haven't been here for a while. Do you use those little cups now? Yeah. Yeah, you don't pass the trays out or anything, you know. You use those little cups, you know, where you have to peel off one side and you turn it up and peel off the other side. First time I did that at Parkway, I got them the wrong side. And it threw the two deacons that were going to pray for the elements out of whack because I was out of sync with the order to do it in. And one man came to me later and said, "Pastor, a theological point of view," he said, "the bread comes before the wine." Okay. You know. Somebody said to me here a while back, are we ever going to go back to the old way of doing things? And I said, no. He looked at me. You know, now if you really want to go back to the old way, do it like Jesus did. Have one cup and pass it around. How would you like to do that this morning? I want to start. And take one piece of bread and break it off and pass it around. That's how Jesus did it. If you want to go back to the old ways, okay? We've been forced to change. We've been offerings. You didn't pass offering plates this morning. Could you believe that 5 years ago we wouldn't be passing an offering plate in the Baptist church? I mean, could you believe that? Probably not going to do that again. I just read an article about this last week. Change. Two things changed that. Number one was online giving. Most people now give online. I do that. My tithe comes into this church on the 15th of every month. I get a little notice. We have gotten your offering. Buddy probably adds, praise the Lord. Yeah. Online giving has changed. And COVID changed. We don't pass that offering plate anymore. We put up little boxes. You've got an offering box, I think, out here. You put up little boxes and people give that offering, you know. It's changed. Hymnals. How many of you remember what a hymnal is? Well, some of you do, you know. Boy, when we started taking hymnals out of the pew racks, Baptist about died. One lady said to me in one church I was in, when we switched to a different hymnal that just simply said the hymnal, she said, well, we don't have a Baptist hymnal. How will they know we're Baptists? Gracious. You know, change. Dying churches resist and refuse to change. And there are other things, architecture and music styles. Oh my goodness. Everywhere I go, it's the same thing. You know, seniors, I don't like that new music. Go back and read the Psalms. I will sing a new song to the Lord. I'm not disparaging the old songs. I like them. I love them. But I don't resist the new songs. The young people are saying, I don't want to hear that old music. Listen, that old music has some great theology to it. Wonderful. Put the two together. Change. We resist change. Live in the present, right now. I haven't been in here for a number of months. I heard about the things that are taking place with the changes in the church and the remodeling and the redecoration. I walked in the other day when I was here. I'd not seen any of it. I said, wow, this is great. I love it. I love it. I love the concourse, vestibule, whatever you want to call it, whatever it is. I love it. I love the seating area. I got here this morning and there were a half dozen men sitting back there in those chairs. I said, is this the Spit and Whittle Club? Yeah. I love it. I love it. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. I couldn't help but think back years ago at the old King's Highway property. When I first came, we decided to remodel there. And because of different things I won't tell you about, we got an outside decorator to come in. Mistake. Big mistake. She decided to redo the concourse area in mauve. I didn't know what mauve was. Okay, let's do it in mauve. Turned out it was pink. Pink wallpaper down here. Pink walls, pink everything, and then the baptistry, she did in a deep red. It was hideous. It was horrible. But you know, nobody ever said a word. They may have said it when they went home for lunch, but they didn't say it in church. And we lived with that hideous mauve color. It was still there when I left. Biggest mistake, I'm not an interior decorator. I want to tell you, whoever's doing this is doing wonderful. It's bright, it's area, it's contemporary, it's new, it's fresh. It's wonderful. Changes. Changes. The cube. You bought the cube since I left. It was a possibility before I left, but we didn't do it because of circumstances. Great facility. And programs. Refuel. Isn't Refuel a wonderful ministry? Wonderful ministry. I've told people about Refuel wherever I go. Wednesday at lunch, a service designed more for the senior adults with the old music, you know, and the old preacher. And he's got his ARP card, I'm sure. You know, I mean, Refuel is great. Whoever came up with that, it's wonderful. Change, change, live in the present. I heard a story. I've tried to look it up to see if it was true, and I can't confirm it, but if it's not, it's still a good story. So listen to it. I heard about a famous criminal trial lawyer who was in his second marriage, and he had been basically living in the same house and home for years and years and years, and his wife wanted to build a new home or buy a new home. And he said, I've been living here all these years. I want to die here. She said, I'm not getting you a new home to die in. I'm getting you a new home to live in. Isn't that good? Live in the present. In the present. Not in the past, but plan for the future. Plan for the future. When I came and we were reconsidering the relocation plans, they had kind of been put on a shelf. I think most people in the church at that time thought, it's probably not going to happen. It's probably not going to happen. I'm telling you, those were dismal days. When I came, I walked down the hallway of the educational, the Meadows building, and I looked in a classroom, and here's, I think Steve Huddy was the teacher, and he had two college age, I think, students sitting there. So Steve is, I think it was Steve, sitting in a chair with two students right here. Boy, they had to pay attention. And walked through the, not many children. Not many youth, not many young adults. It was a dismal kind of situation. And I think the church just about gave up on relocating. We went for a couple years. We plowed ahead. I had a church growth consultant come and lead us in a weekend of consultation. And I told him about the relocation. I said, they've got 28 acres out here to relocate. He said, oh, that's great, man. I said, now just wait a minute. Till you see it. It was out on Elm Street. That was not in a good traffic pattern. It was not. I took him out there the next day and had him look at it. And when he looked at it, he said, let me think about this overnight. And he thought about it. And the next day he came. He said, I don't think that location is any better than where you are. And I would not put a church through a relocation for a toss-up. And then he said these words that I've never forgotten. I've had to evaluate them. He said, when we look to relocate a church, we look for a site that's good for 50 years. Listen to that. 50 years. I thought about that for a long time. Still think about it. Why 50 years? Because in 50 years, a community changes. Because in 50 years, a community changes. Because in 50 years, buildings change. Houses change. And so we put that on hold and said we'll We'll wait and see what the Lord does until we grow so much that we have to do that and there's no other option, or the Lord opens up another option. Well, unexpectedly, this site opened up. 26 acres. Can you think of a better site for a church than where we are right here? Interstate 70, Mugi Road, Jungerman Road, Mexico Road. I mean, everything. Perfect site. We've been here about 25 years. I think we're good for another 25. Don't you? Okay. Plan for the future. Now, some people in their personal lives just can't think beyond what's for lunch today. And I'm thinking about that too. But you know, that's long-range planning for some people. What's for lunch today? We get through with breakfast and I ask my wife, well, what's for dinner? You know, I like to plan ahead, you know. Plan ahead in your personal life. Listen, those of you who are younger people, 20s and 30s, don't wait till you're 50 to start planning for retirement. It's going to come faster than you think. Those of you that are 60s and 70s, don't wait until you're too old to be able to move and you want to move and you don't know how, when you need to move now to a special facility. You know what I'm talking about? You see? Plan for the future. Plan for the future. And I want to encourage you to focus as a church, listen to what I'm going to say, on the next two generations. The next two generations. Those of you that are 60 years of age and above, listen very carefully to me. How many of you, though you may not be here and you probably won't, how many of you would like to see this church thriving and growing 20 years from now, 30 years from now, 40 years from now? You know how it's going to happen? It's going to happen because you plan for it right now. And those of you who are older, you need to remember, you need to think about the next two generations. Let me tell you why that's so important. In the book of Judges, after Joshua, and then the book of Judges, the scripture says, the people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who had outlived him and who had seen all the great things the Lord had done. That's two generations, Joshua and the next generation. They served the Lord. But then these words, and that whole generation had been gathered to their, and after that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up, a third generation, who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Three generations. Seniors, you've been faithful. You've stood the test. You're still here. 60, 70, 80 years. God bless you. I'm one of them. Okay? But listen, my concern is not for me. My concern is for my children and my grandchildren. And so when the church plans things to reach young adults and teenagers and children, don't you dare stand up and say, well, I don't like that. You're not doing anything for the seniors. I remember when I was pastor, you know, it's so wonderful now. You all think I was just the greatest thing in the world. 14 years after the fact. There were times as pastor when I thought we couldn't please anybody. Young people thought we didn't care for them. Seniors thought we didn't care for them. Middle age didn't care for anything. You know, listen, plan not for just today, but for 20 years from now, for 30 years from now. Plan for the future. And, buddy, 15 more years will be the church's 150th celebration. The year after I came was the 100th anniversary. 10 years ago was the 125th, and you invited me to come back. And you must have forgotten because you invited me again for the 135th. And buddy, I'm available for the 150th. That's 15 years from now. I will only be 91. But I'm going to mark it in my calendar. You know, I've reached the age where I'm old enough to run for president. And so far, I have 10 votes. You know, plan for the future. Plan for the future and focus on the next two generations. And then last, leave a legacy. Leave a legacy. Isn't that a wonderful legacy you've heard from people this morning? Wonderful legacy of a family with almost 100 years of history in this church. What a legacy. Your personal testimony. What are people going to say about you when you're gone? A legacy, your personal testimony. A legacy of children and grandchildren serving the Lord. And then some of you could leave a good financial legacy. We're going to see the greatest transfer of wealth in the history of the world from this generation to the next generation. And some of you could leave a legacy through your finances that could be used to help in many different areas. Could be for missions. Could be for special projects. Could be to build more facilities when they're needed. I want to encourage you to think about that. A legacy. A legacy. Plan for the future. 10 years from now, this church will not be like it is now. I don't know what it'll be, but it'll be a different time and a different place. When I come back in 15 years, it'll be a different time and a different place. You'll have to help me up to the platform. You'll have to hold my arms. You know, different time and a different place. The great missionary David Livingston said this, "I will go anywhere as long as it's forward." And as you plan for the future, the most important plan you can make is to trust Jesus as your Savior and to be prepared for eternity. If you're here this morning, you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, I want to tell you, eternity is staring you right in the face. And you're going to step into eternity very quickly. And if you're not prepared, it'll be too late. And so this morning, the greatest need you have is to invite Christ to come into your life to forgive you of your sins and be your Savior and to commit your life to Him. That's the most important plan you can ever make. Would you bow with me as we pray? Father, thank you for this morning. It's been a wonderful time together. Thank you for the history of this church, the testimony of not only those who gave testimony this morning, but the testimony of so many others through these 135 years, some of them unknown and unnamed. Thank you for that legacy. Thank you for the things that are happening right now, exciting things, new people, young families, youth, children. You're doing a fresh and new work here. Thank you for that. And Father, we thank you for what can happen in the future as we commit to you and prepare for that future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.